Heavenly Father, we thank you that one day soon we are going to see you face to face. And we're looking forward to that. It's, Lord, happening so fast before our eyes that there's no off switch now. And we thank you for that also. And we look forward to that day that we hear the voice and the trumpet sound. And Lord, you call us home to be with you. And Lord, we look forward that after 7 years of tribulation on this earth, we will come back to reign with you for 1,000 years. And Lord, what wonderful privileges you have given to those who have accepted you as their Savior and become your children. And we praise you and thank you. That's where we stand. And we just ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to minister that truth to every heart today as we come to your word this morning and again this afternoon. And we look at the old story for today and be reminded of the great salvation that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, John chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verse 27, John chapter 14, 27, a very familiar verse, a wonderful verse, and that verse, and if we're all there, we'll read it together, amen. So once we turn there, let's, thus saith the Lord. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a wonderful truth that is. You know, when the title of this morning's message is it perplexity or peace? What is it? What are you living in? Perplexity or peace? You know, when someone bequeaths something to someone, it means they give or they leave someone else, usually an estate or some sort of legacy. In other words, it's like the last will and testament of someone before they leave this earth. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, peace I leave with you. And he says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here we have Christ's last will and testament. You know, through this chapter, you know, Christ has been telling his disciples about his soon departure back to the Father, and he gave them seven promises that were a sevenfold encouragement to them. Now, we're only looking at verse 27, but if you turn to verse 1, in verses 1 to 3, he assured the disciples that heaven was a sure thing for them. They were born again, they believed in him, they put their faith in him and what he had accomplished on the cross. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, heaven's a sure thing for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, he tells them there that in him and him alone is the only sure way. See, there is no other way to heaven, no works that we can do, nothing we can earn or merit on our behalf. It is only in him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then in verses 10 to 12, he assures them that there is no need for them to fear that his works would cease, because he says they would do greater works than he has done. And then in verses 16 and 17, he says that he would pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Right through eternity. Not just for this earth, but right through eternity, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, in 18 to 23, Jesus said he would not leave his people forever, but he would come back and receive them unto himself. Verse 26, the promise there that when the Holy Spirit came, he would teach the disciples, he would and bring to memory all the things that he had said. And in the last one of the promises there, that's our verse for this morning, he would give them peace that the world could not give, But listen very carefully, that the world also cannot take away. Amen. That's the peace we have. The world can't take it away from us. Peace. His peace. This is the only legacy Jesus had. He had nothing else to bequeath to his children. Christ, he had become the poorest of the poor. He had become the most humble of the humble. Listen, he had no material possessions at all that he could divide among his disciples. These are the ones who followed him, who had loved him, and the ones he had loved so greatly. So what does Jesus do? He gives them something the world cannot give them. He gave them his peace. Listen, this is Jesus, the one who said in Luke, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. The one we are told in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. This is the one, this is what he left. You see, he gave those who believe in him riches that this world cannot understand. They're riches that this world cannot even know. He gave the riches of his peace. You know, Christ's peace is priceless. You know that multi-millionaires, billionaires cannot buy it. I used to work for a multi-millionaire, and we're walking around on his property. I was restoring the garden there. In fact, he brought us over from New Zealand, and we were there for quite a few years. We're walking around one day, and he said, Dennis, I said, what? He said, what do I do if I lose all this? I said, none of this matters. And I said, you know, you need the Lord. And you know what his wife said to Deborah and I? Oh, you don't have to get on your knees anymore, and walked away. But peace, all the money in the world could not buy this person peace. All the wisdom in the world, all the learning in the world cannot acquire the peace that Christ gives to those who have accepted him as their Savior. See, he bequeathed to his followers something, a possession only he has and only he can give. And let's understand this, because he's the only one who can give it, we have to understand it's a gift. It's nothing we can earn. None of us can do anything to get this gift. It only comes from him, and we must receive it. That's what a gift is. You receive it. You accept it. And it's only for those who have been born again. Those who have placed their faith and belief in the finished work he did at the cross. See, he died for our sins. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again to give us eternal life. That brings peace into a believer. You look at the times we're living in, this very hour is extremely difficult for many to find any inner peace. See, in this world, there are evil forces that go about and torment the minds of those who are believers. And if it were possible, the devil himself would disturb the mind of those who are most dedicated and consecrated to the Lord. Listen, Satan has come into this world, and at the moment, this world, especially in Christianity, is becoming divided. Very divided. Satan doesn't care what's going on outside in the atmosphere. He doesn't care at all. What he's happy about is he's divided in the church. He's dividing Christians. Now, to keep in an unbroken peace in the face of the attacks of this world at the moment is nothing short of a miracle from heaven. Amen. Now, this age of nervousness, and it's an age of wanting everything now, this world is going along full steam ahead in such a way man has never known before. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. You know, men and women today, instead of adding to their diet the bread of heaven, they're taking multivitamins thinking that's going to give them a boost. Amen. They're taking pills to take the edge of things. Instead of reading God's book, instead of feeding on the bread of heaven, they're turning to anything else that can satisfy their need. And when men and women today, instead of adding to their diet the bread of God, the bread of heaven, they become nervous, they become worried, if not upset. Now, for those who do not know Christ, and what I'm talking about in a real saving and personal relationship, I understand why their fears are real, why they see things the way they are in the world today. I understand that they carry great burdens. You see, what happened is they haven't stopped long enough to hear and listen to the word of God, which says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. See, they've never read Hebrews 13, 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I understand why the lost carry such fear and burdens, but I don't understand why we do as Christians. I will not leave you comfortless, Jesus said in John 14, 18. I will come to you. See, we are living in a time of confusion, a time where people are more connected to Google than they are to God, amen? And I'm talking Christians now. The amount of stuff I have from Google on my computer and the so little stuff I have from God on my computer from just things coming in. If we just got our act right with God, if we looked to God, we wouldn't be worried. We wouldn't be fearful. We wouldn't be scared. We wouldn't be confused. See, people are believing what the word of men are saying instead of resting in the word of God. You know, Psalm 37, 25 says, I have been young and now am old. Who can relate to that one? That's it. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Listen, when we look back on our Christian life, there's not one time God has let us down. Amen? Not one. Not one. He has come through every time we've needed it, even when we've been unfaithful. You know why? He's a faithful God. Is he your God this morning? Do you know him through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, I understand why you're worried, confused. But if you are, then why are we? If we belong to him, why are we so worried about what Google and man is trying to promote and tell us what to do? We just need to walk in the word of God, amen? You see, there's more good in that psalm than any prescription we're going to get. See, many believers feel we are persecuted, unappreciated, unloved. Well, we should read Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What about Romans 8:31? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:28, we all know that one. All things work what? Together for? To those called according to his purpose. Listen, there is no doubt it is not easy when trials come our way. When we face losing things and possessions, and we face losing our lifestyle and our health. In these times, it's not easy to keep a smile on the face, especially when a lot's not coming in. When restrictions affect people's lifestyles, it's not easy. And in this time of fear and worry and anxiety, this time of wearing down one's spirit, coming to the place of almost breaking point, it's not the easiest thing to do to be of good cheer and so on. But let me tell you something, it is possible because God's words declares in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Now, is our mind on Christ? Are we trusting in him? Or are we letting all the influences and the messages of this world confuse us and scare us to the point it's taken our mind off the great future and glory that we have? That's what the devil's doing. He's dividing. And we need to be careful. We need to understand there's a thin edge of the wedge. And he runs around with a little tap here. Comes back later, a little tap there. We don't feel it go in until it's all the way in and it's too late. And he's divided. See, there are many who are lonely. They feel lonely in spirit and soul. They feel left out. They feel forgotten. They're fearful about what's going on in the world. And I've spoken to many who are suffering mentally and emotionally and physically. But see, God's calling out to them. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a promise. But you've got to come to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? Because I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Now, if you come to Christ, do you know him as your personal Savior? I'm not talking knowing about him. I'm not talking about knowing, oh yes, there's a Bible, there's a church, there's a religion. I'm talking about the relationship he has called us to, where we know him personally. See, one's only got to look and hear the news to see this age is responsible for most of the anxiety and fear people are facing. See, many people, they're all over the place in their mind and their spirit, but let me tell you, the real trouble goes way deeper than that. You see, the real trouble is not the circumstances mankind is facing today. The decisions that need to be made in a person's life, that's not the real problem. See, the real problem is in people's hearts. That's the problem. We need to take God's word. We need to put it in our laps. We need just to sit down with him, not try and find some mystical little thing. Sit down with him and read this love letter. See what he has to say to us. We need to speak to ourselves with the God-given conscience that we have. And in all honesty, we have to admit the bulk of the problem is with us. We need to ask the real questions, brothers and sisters. Why do we become irritable? Why are our nerves on edge, making us say words we regret a little while later? Amen? Why do we cross bridges before we even get to them? Why is it so hard to rest and relax in our Savior? Why are people around us so hard to live with? Why are there more days going wrong than right? Why does our work become a burden? Look, if we took a bit more time to look into the mirror of our own lives, we'd have less reason to criticize the lives of others. And all the people said, amen. There are times we all need to face the fact we're lacking in the peace that Christ has given us. But listen, the devil, you know, the devil, he holds over the head of believers the fact they don't live as they should, and that causes many to start doubting that they're even saved. He loves that. You know, Jesus tells John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, the devil wants to steal away people's peace. So he wants the world to be fretting and worried and scared. He doesn't want anyone to have the peace of Christ. Peace knowing that, one, there is a God. That he rules and reigns from heaven regardless of what's going on here on earth. That this God sent his Son into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it because he loves them, and he's prepared a place of abode, a home in heaven, to anyone and all who will place nothing but their simple trust in what he has done. That's the gospel. And Jesus said, now hang on a minute, don't let him worry you. I've come to give a more abundant life. See, Christ came to give a life of security, knowing that in him one can have eternal life in heaven. Now, are you assured of that today? Do you know that you, when you die today, you'll be immediately in the presence of the Lord? If not, well, come and see me or anyone before you go so we can sort that out. You see, when the true born-again believer comes short of having an abundant life, do you know what they're doing? They're settling for second best. And it's a sin to worry and to fret. And when our Lord and Savior promised us he would supply every need, and to take us all the way to heaven and to give us a perfect peace, then why should we worry and fret? And if we're honest, we do at times, and we have to confess that as the truth. Who would like peace today? Amen. Amen. Not the peace that makes a person sit back and take it easy. Not the one that wants people just to have a rest in the hammock and a nice sunny afternoon. I'm not talking about that sort of peace. Bundle yourself up in cotton wool. The peace I'm talking about is peace that brings assurance. It brings calmness. It brings hope in the midst of heartache and trouble. Because, brothers, we live in a very troubled world. And God doesn't want us to be troubled. He wants us to be at peace. The peace that enables a soul and spirit to stand fast, it doesn't matter how difficult things are. Peace that keeps the whole heart when we're criticized by people at work. When our family doesn't understand what it means to be born again and gives us a hard time. Friends who no longer want to know us because we say, hang on a minute, we stand for Christ. Peace when the unlovely say words that really sting our soul. Is that the peace you'd like? Is that the peace you're searching for? Well, if you want it, it's yours. God's word says so, and God cannot lie. The devil lies, he's the father of lies. And he wants you to believe there's no such thing as that sort of peace. But there is. There is a peace of Jesus, the peace that he says is my peace, and he says, I want to give it to you. But to receive it, you must be born again. See, it's a peace for the highly strung. Amen? It's a peace for those who see nothing but worry and concern. It's peace to those who have an angry soul about them. But this peace can only belong to those who accept God's gift to this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. You see, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not the world's, but my peace. This is the peace he knew in his heart. For the sake of everyone in this world, he left the glory of heaven for a manger, a food trough in Bethlehem. He came into a world that despised him and eventually killed him on a cross. And yet I've never found one word of Jesus that shows worry or fretting. Not one. In fact, you read John 8:46, which of you convinceth me of sin? You won't find it. And he said, and if I say the truth, then why do you not believe me? Think of what he went through. Could we have taken all that and stayed calm? No. Look at his life. How many times was his privacy invaded? We love that one, don't we, brothers and sisters? The knock at the door when you've just sat down to relax. Do you know, in the Bible, you find very rare for him at any time of the day to be alone. Any time of the day. Day in, day out, mental, physical strain upon his life, a burden we'd never cope with. Carrying the burden of the world's sin. He was blasphemed, he was criticized, he was lied about. His disciples left him carrying a heavy burden, yet I read of no irritation or no nerves. Whatever came his way, he was at peace. Now you compare that to the disciples. On the night their small fishing boat was being tossed all over the place in that storm, in Mark 4:37, says the waves beat into the ship so it was now full. So it was full of water and it's going down. And he, that's Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? Here he is asleep in the back of the... Nothing's worrying him. The disciples are beside themselves. What does Jesus say to them? He arose, he rebuked the wind and the sea, and he said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Do you know, in those fishing boats in Israel, I've been there, do you know where the controls are? At the hinder part of the ship. He was already at the controls. And he can be at the control of your life if he's your Savior, and if you let him be. But if you're not born again, then you're going to be struggling. You're going to be worried. You're going to be fearful. You know, we get to an age where we think, hang on a minute, I've only got 10 years to go. And that's the truth. Do you know that was 5 years ago I was 21? True. That's how quick life goes. And if you're sitting in your 40s or 50s right now thinking, no, I've got plenty of time. No, you haven't. Now, I don't know what happens to the people who are 70 or 80. They're on borrowed time, amen. 70, the Bible says. I'm drawing very near to that. Remember Matthew 14, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, hungry, sick people, people who the Lord spent all day ministering to and healing. And the disciples, what did they say? And we'll just send them away. And the Lord said in verse 16, he said, they need not depart. He loved them. He was the great shepherd. They were sheep in need of a Savior. He ministered to them. Do you know, in fact, this is the first time I noticed this when I was reading it last night. In fact, when it was time for them to go, Jesus put his disciples in a boat and told them to go. And guess what? He was the one who moved the crowd on. Not only did he heal them, not only did he minister to them, not only did he feed them, he sent them away and cleaned up after them without one complaint. And then after that, he goes up to a mountain to pray. What a day that must have been. We don't see any criticism. We don't see any irritation on the Lord's part. 5,000 men plus women and children to feed, get them home, get them out and clean up and then go and pray. Not one complaint. Not one. Then there was the end. Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. He says to his disciples, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be tried, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter tries to stop him and Jesus rebukes the devil working through Peter. But the Lord still set his heart on that cross. Then on the night they went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, the enemy pounces. Where are the disciples? What did Jesus do? He stepped up, amen? He stepped up. He asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If you therefore seek me, let these go their way. If you're trying to find Jesus of Nazareth, well, then you've found him. Let the rest of them go. Let my disciples go. You take me. Calm, collected, no worry. And they arrested him and they took him away. And not a disciple to be found except for two, John and Peter, and they were following afar off. See, when they had beaten him and mocked him and plucked the beard out of his face, they hung him on a cross, they nailed him to it, and they crucified him. Do you know how he responded? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was his response. All the way from the manger to the cross until he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He had peace. Untroubled peace that passes all understanding. And he says to us if we accept him and what he has done as the payment of our sin. That same peace can be yours if we surrender fully and unreservedly our all to him who is the Prince of Peace. Is he your Savior today? Say amen.
Amen.
If you don't know that, please again, let me share what he's done for you, with you. See, this is my peace, Jesus said. This is the gift of God to anyone who wants to claim it. So how does a person to come into this peace? Well, the answer is clear, is faith. You may say to me, well, what is faith? Well, listen, I was very, very careful this morning to watch everybody sit down. Everyone. Not one person checked their chair. Next week I might unscrew a few screws, amen. But you're not one of you has checked your chair. You did not pick it up. You did not look at it. You did not wobble it. You just walked up and sat down. Why? Because it's a chair and you had faith in it. And that's what Jesus wants, how he wants you to trust him. He is God come into this world in the flesh. And he said, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He had peace and trouble. You may be thinking, well, hang on a minute, I'm not Jesus. I was made from the dust of this earth. I can't live up to him. The peace of God that passes all understanding, the peace of the Savior. Let me tell you something, it's not a far-off fantasy. This peace is for right now. And it's for anyone who wants to lay claim to it. And it's faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's no other way to have peace. God's peace. You must exercise faith in Christ. Here it is. Just say to yourself wholeheartedly, just mean it. Jesus took my place. He bore my sins in his body and nailed it to a cross. He was tempted in every way, just as I am, yet he was without sin. He did not have a home. He did not have a bed. He had nowhere to lay his head, yet he promised to meet all my needs. Today, I want you to be my Jesus. And if you believe in that wholeheartedly and place your faith in what he done, he says he'll be a Savior to you. Amen. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Read Matthew 6. What is it? You need a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food on the table. They're yours. He cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was possible for God, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Listen, if you flee to God truly, earnestly in your heart, wanting to be saved, he will never throw you out. Those arms were nailed open on the cross, amen? He cannot shut them. You have to by faith believe that he is able to keep you and he will give you his peace. And remember his promise, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Are you prepared today, right now, to commit your all to Jesus? To trust him to give you eternal life and take you home to heaven when you die? To trust him to give you the abundance of his grace, his mercy, and his peace? You see, for by grace are we saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And for the believer here today, promise yourself today, refuse to worry, knowing Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Refuse to be anxious. Refuse to fret. Accept what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has bequeathed you in his last will and testament, and here and now accept the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and say, thank you, Jesus, amen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a gift. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you there's not one work we can do to get to heaven. There's not one thing we can buy or earn or merit on our own accord that makes us right with God. The only way to be right with you is to be in Christ, to accept the work that Jesus has done by faith and believe in our heart that he died for my sin and rose again the third day. Father, we pray any here today who do not know you as their personal Savior, they might know you as a God or an idol or as a religion, but Lord, those who do not know you in a relationship, that they would sort that out today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could well be too late. Father, we thank you for the grace, the faith, the hope you give us, and for the peace, your peace, that you have put in our heart, knowing that you are our God and you have saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.